Heavenly Father, we thank you for this amazing, wonderful, faith-shaping story of the crossing through the Red Sea. And we pray that you'd help us understand today that you are a God of miracles and that you call us to cooperate with you in the work that you call us to do, the saving work of the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the reason I've chosen this passage today is because I'm preaching on it tonight at St. George's, and we're going through a series on the gifts of the Holy Spirit from 1 Corinthians 12. And so, as you know, there are a number of gifts listed in 1 Corinthians 12. And what we've done is, rather than preach on 1 Corinthians 12, we've taken the gift of faith, the gift of healings, the gift that you take them one at a time, and then you find another passage in the Bible to illustrate the gift of faith, or another passage in the Bible to illustrate the gift of healing. And I've been given tonight the subject of the gift of miracles. And so the passage they gave me to illustrate the gift of miracles is this great, amazing miracle where God divides the Red Sea through the staff of Moses and the people walk through on dry land. Now, in 1 Corinthians 12, the actual translation, the word, the gift of miracles, if you translate it from the Greek, is the effective working of power. And so you've got the working of power, dunamis, dynamite, the working of dynamite, the working of power. God's power is a miracle, the working of effective working of power. And clearly from 1 Corinthians 12, the miracles that are being described are more than just healings and exorcisms, because otherwise you wouldn't mention and miracles, the gift of miracles. So there's something in addition to healing miracles, deliverance ministry. And then there's the gift of miracles. And you might think of the ministry of Jesus. And you might think of the calming of the storm as a nature miracle. Or you might think of the feeding of the 5,000, again, as a creation miracle. You might think of the stories from the book of Acts where you've got some judgment miracles, where Ananias and Sapphira lie to the Holy Spirit. And Peter says, you're going to be carried out. And they drop dead in front of him and they're carried out because they've lied to the Holy Spirit. Or Elymas, the magician at Paphos, who's deceiving the proconsul, the Roman authority. And Paul says to him, you're just a naughty boy. The Lord's going to blind you. And he's blind on the spot for a short time. A judgment miracle. And what we find with the gift of miracles is two things. They both authenticate the message that is being proclaimed, and they authenticate the messenger. In fact, we get this right at the end of our passage. If you look at verse 31 of Exodus 14, when the Israelites saw the mighty hand of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, what did the people do? They feared the Lord and they put their trust in him and in his servant Moses. Moses is authenticated as God's chosen leader of God's people through the miracle that God did through him. Now, let me give you an example of, a modern example of the gift of miracles. I had a friend staying with me this week from South Africa, and he's a farmer. He runs horseback safaris in South Africa. He's got 170 horses, and he lives in a very rural area. And, of course, one of the dangers of living in rural areas in South Africa are fires, wildfires. And he told me the story. I said, Shane, because he's the pastor of the local church as well. He gathers the local church. I said, Shane, have you got any stories of a kind of gift of miracles, nature? And he said, yes, we were outside the village and a fire had taken hold. And the fire was ripping through the fields. And it came into a field of grass and the grass was up to your chest. And we thought, oh no. And all we had was one water bowser, which is like a van. A lorry with a big water tank on the back. We had one of those, and there were 15 men going around trying to spray from this one water bowser to bring this fire under control. And it was ripping into this field, and the flames were 7 foot high, and the wind was really strong and just blowing through the fire. And I was just walking, like feeling completely helpless behind the water bowser. And he said, suddenly the Lord said to me, speak to the fire. He said, so I commanded the fire to turn around in Jesus' name, to turn in on itself. And immediately the fire turned round in on itself. And of course, all the grass had been consumed. And from 7 foot flames, it went down to ground level. And the guys just came and put it out. Praise God. There's a gift of miracles. He said to his servant, speak to the wind. He spoke to the wind and the wind completely turned round and the fire died out. Now, Moses and the crossing of the Red Sea. It's a nature miracle of supreme power. You've got Moses as God's agent. Moses is authenticated as God's servant as a result of this. And of course, God's people put their trust in him. So first of all, Moses and the gift of faith. Look at, so sometimes these gifts, faith, healings, and miracles, they go together. You need the gift of faith in order to see the miracles happen. And Moses knows that God is about to do something. So if you look when he speaks to the people, verses 13 and 14, he's speaking complete faith. He says to the people, don't be afraid, stand firm, you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you, you only need to be still. So Moses has got the gift of faith. The Lord has already prepared him. If you look at verses 1 to 4, the Lord has told him what he's up to. So verses 1 to 4 of chapter 14, the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites to turn back and camp near Pi-Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea. They're to camp by the sea directly opposite Baal Zephon. Pharaoh will think, ah, the Israelites are wandering around the land in confusion, hemmed in by the desert. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them, but I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. So the Israelites did this. Moses has been told what to do. He's been told the Egyptians are going to follow, but I'm going to bring glory to myself. And so when he stands to say, just stand still. Don't worry. God's in control. Something's going to happen here. Moses has the gift of faith. I remember the first time I did, when I was a curate years and years ago, back in 1996, when I was doing my curacy, we were involved in doing Alpha courses right at the very early stages of Alpha. And I was learning from my boss, Reverend Kim Swithenbank, and he'd done a few Alpha courses before me. And so I'd been present on the Holy Spirit Day when everybody has been through the course, and you come to the Holy Spirit Day, and Kim would stand there, like, or if you'd watch the videos, you see Nikki Gumbel do it. But Kim would stand there, and he'd invite the presence of the Holy Spirit to come. And the Holy Spirit came, and people would experience him in different ways. People would come to Christ, and you'd see manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Some people would cry. Some people would just be overwhelmed with God's love. Some people might speak in tongues. There would be different manifestations. But every time you ask the Holy Spirit to come, the Holy Spirit would come. Now, it was my first time, maybe 2 or 3 years into being a curate. It was my turn to lead the Holy Spirit Day. And I'm standing, I've never done this before. I've never invited the presence of the Holy Spirit in again. What's going to happen? I know he comes when Kim asks him to come. I know he comes when Nikki Gumbel asks him to come. What's going to happen when I say, come, Holy Spirit? And so I had to just step out in faith. I believed it, but I still had to step out in faith. So I said, come, Holy Spirit. And of course, the Holy Spirit came, and people experienced the love of God in their hearts. They came to faith in Jesus Christ. It happens every time. So now, of course, 30 years on, whenever I do an Alpha course, I know that when I invite the presence of the Holy Spirit on the Alpha day, the Holy Spirit always comes. I don't know. And what I say is, look, I don't know how he will come. All I know is he will come. And you might experience him in this way or that way or this way or that way. And then, of course, we invite him and the Lord works. He's present by his Spirit in the midst of his people. So from my experience now, I can just step out in faith. And Moses is a bit like that. You see, he's had the 10 plagues in Egypt. He's had his staff. And the Pharaoh has had to learn that you don't mess with the God of Israel. Especially when it comes to the very last one, the Passover, where the angel of death goes over. And that's what breaks him, the 10th plague. And, of course, Moses knows that when he stretches out his staff, God works. He steps out in faith. You don't have to worry, Israelites. Even though it looks like we're trapped, God is going to rescue us. Just be calm. Stand still. God will save us. So Moses and the gift of faith. The gift of faith trusts that God is going to work in power and to bring glory to himself. Don't be afraid. Stand firm. Be still. Then Moses and the gift of miracles. As Moses raises his staff and stretches out his hand over the sea, at like going symbolic of dividing the water, stretch out your staff and wave your hand. And what happens? The sea comes into two walls so that the Israelites can go straight through. through the middle. You can see that in verses 21 to 23. The Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and a wall of water on their left. And he does exactly the same afterwards, 26 to 28. Then the Lord said to Moses at the end, stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may flow back over the Egyptians and their chariots and horsemen. Moses has to cooperate with God. Moses stretches out his hand, it says in 14:21. If you look at the Song of Miriam, 15 verse 12, God stretches out his hand. You stretch out your right hand and the earth swallows your enemies. We stretch out our hands, God stretches out his hand. It's a cooperation, working with God for his glory and honor. You might think, in the New Testament terms, you might think of the feeding of the 5,000. So often we think of the feeding of the 5,000 as showing us that Jesus is God. He's Israel's God feeding Israel in the wilderness. But do you notice what Jesus says to his disciples in the feeding of the 5,000? The disciples come to him and go, Lord, it's time to send the people home. They're hungry. And Jesus says, you give them something to eat. Jesus wants them to feed the people. He's already taught them when he sent them out. Don't take any food with you for the journey. God will provide for your journey. They're missionary disciples. You just need to trust in God when you go out. And here's a big test, 5,000 people. You feed them. Now, they don't yet have the faith to feed that crowd. But what happens is they cooperate with Jesus. Because Jesus breaks the bread. And then the disciples have to go working with Jesus to feed the 5,000 people. They cooperate with him and a great nature miracle occurs. Recently, do you remember the revolution in Libya not too long ago when Gaddafi was removed and people were leaving Libya? We support a mission partner from St. George's, and he runs an agency, an aid agency. He doesn't anymore, he's retired, but at that time he was running an aid agency in Tunisia on the border with Libya. And lots of Egyptians who were working in Libya had to leave, and they were coming out and they were coming to the border as refugees, and they had to be fed at the border. And so the government said to my friend's organization, which was an aid organization, a Christian aid organization working in Tunisia, please will you go and feed the refugees at the border. The first night they turn up, and they said, oh, we expect maybe 700 people to come. So the first night they've prepared for maybe 700 refugees to turn up, Egyptians coming out, and they've set up, they've got 3 vats of food. And of course, there are many more than 700 people who come out of Egypt. The first 2 vats are empty. They've been given all the food. The third vat keeps on filling up the other 2, and it never runs out till all the people are fed. Isn't that amazing? So over 1,000 people were fed on the first day, as God multiplied the food. They didn't need that again because, of course, they could prepare the next day for the people that were coming. But God gave them grace to feed the people. And the Muslims from Egypt said, did you see the way the Christian people helped us? They hadn't worked out that God had done the miracle, but they saw the way that God's people had cared for those who were coming out of Egypt. Cooperating with the God of miracles as we step out in faith, so God stretches out his hands. And then finally, Moses and the gift of salvation. Now, salvation is a miracle in and of itself. God delivers us from the powers which enslave us and oppose us. There's a lovely story in the Stamford Mercury this weekend. There's a guy in our congregation called Paul Hunt. He turned up in Stamford maybe 5 years ago, maybe a little bit before, and he was a cocaine addict, and he ended up on the door of the church. He tried to take his life twice. He's written his testimony up, and it's like a 2-page spread in the Stamford Mercury this weekend. And it starts off by saying, I wrote myself up, I was about to kill myself when I heard a voice say, Paul, it's okay. It's going to be okay, you can get down. And he said, that was the start of my journey towards faith. He heard a voice, he stepped down, and then he came to the church, and he met Jesus Christ through the witness of the church. his cocaine habit was broken. He was set free from the power of his addiction. And he was a rapper. Paul is a rapper. He writes raps. He wrote non-Christian raps, and now he writes Christian poetry. He's just written an anthology where he's put to poetry lots of the Bible stories. He did it for Easter. We're 800 years this year, so he's written these things, and he's saying, this is my gift to St. George's, 800 years. And he's also written his story, the story of his own redemption. He's been set free from the powers that enslaved him by the power of Jesus Christ. And when we look at this story, what we see is we've got the Israelites coming out of Egypt. They're escaping the power of slavery, the power that oppressed them, the power of the Egyptians. And in front of them, they've got the sea. And in Israel, in Jewish thought, the sea represented hostile forces against God. You see that in this calming of the storm. Jesus about to cross over to the land of the Gerasenes, and of course he's going to deal with Legion on the other side. And the sea kicks up an enormous storm. Be quiet, be still, says Jesus. Here, the sea, so they've got the sea in front of them. Can they go through it? Well, they don't think they can. They've got the Egyptians behind them, two powers that oppose them, and the Lord is the power over all powers. And he sends a wind, as Moses stretched out it. He drives the sea back. Authority over the sea. The Israelites come through, the Egyptians follow. What does happens? The sea closes over them, and the powers are completely destroyed. The power which opposed them is completely destroyed. And so often when we come to Christ, it can be like this. The power which held us before wants us back. Pharaoh goes, I should never have let them go. I'm going after them. What did I do? When we become a Christian, it's like the devil says, should never have let them go. I'm coming after them. And we call this spiritual warfare, spiritual battle. The temptations that we face as Satan tries to draw us back to himself. But he's a defeated foe. We're not to go back the way that we came. This story illustrates the fact that God has completely destroyed our enemies. The Israelites never went back to Egypt. They came through the sea and were heading towards the promised land. Tonight at St. George's, we're baptizing. We're baptizing this morning, three or four people. We're baptizing three or four people this evening. We've got the immersion pool ready. And as people go through the waters of baptism, it's like going through the waters of the Red Sea. The death and resurrection of Jesus, the great miracle, the resurrection of Jesus has set us free from the powers of sin, the power of Satan, and the power of death. We've been set free by the one who is all-powerful. And when he saves us, he saves us for himself completely. We're not to go back to where we were. We've been set free from that. And he calls us to be his own people, a special possession that belongs to him. So as we think about the gift of miracles today, we believe in a God of miracles, a God who saves. And the resurrection is the greatest miracle. The cross and the resurrection whereby God defeats our enemies, sets us free. And I love this bit. As we think about the gift of miracles, this is from Acts 4. The apostles have been put in prison. They've been badly treated because they've been preaching Jesus in the temple, and they've been told not to do it again. You're not to spread the name of Jesus, they say, in Jerusalem after the resurrection of Jesus. And what they come home, they've been released. And if you want to turn to Acts chapter 4, they decide to pray together. I'm just going to read you this prayer. Acts 4:24. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand. It's the Lord who stretches out his hand. Stretch out your hand. Consider. Hang on, I've lost myself. I'm getting too excited. Consider their threats. Enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God boldly. We're to cooperate with the God of miracles as we declare in word and deed what he has done. So we pray that he would stretch out his hand and perform signs and wonders. He would authenticate the messengers and the message by works that he alone can do. And we're to cooperate with him in that. And he's given us authority to do that. So may Boston see the saving power of God at work in your community. We prayed before the service. Carol was praying for revival in Boston, for Lincolnshire to turn back to the Lord. It's the God who saves. He's the God of miracles. Let's pray as we draw this time to a close. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this wonderful story of the saving of your people out of Egypt, bringing them through the Red Sea. Your power to save, your power to set free, your power to do amazing signs and wonders and miracles. And Father, we thank you above all for the great death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, which sets us free. But we thank you that you're still a God who saves. And we pray for your saving power to be made known here in Boston, here in Holy Trinity. We pray for your saving power, Lord, at work in the lives of individuals and their circumstances in this congregation. And maybe some of you here, it feels like you're trapped. It feels like you're in prison or you're enslaved to something. Or there's something that you can't get out of and you're crying out to the Lord, Lord, would you save us? Lord, would you save my family? Cry out to the Lord quietly in your heart and remember those words. You don't need to do anything. Be quiet, be still, don't worry, and you'll see the deliverance of the Lord. Lord, by your mighty hand, deliver your people, set them free. Lord, stretch out your hand as we declare the name of Jesus. So we pray that you would authenticate message and messengers. Grant us the faith to step out in the name of Jesus and to see you move in power. We trust in you. May you be glorified. May you be glorified in Holy Trinity, in Boston, and in Lincoln Diocese, and to the ends of the earth. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.